Now, moving on to the Schumanns, if I can find my little thing here. Where is it? There it is. I've made a kind of chronology because I thought we're dealing with a longer time span, and we're talking about two different lives, and the way they interact with one another is, of course, very important and significant. Most of you know, of course, about the great love between Clara and Robert and the obstacles they had to overcome to finally get married and so on. And I'm not going to go into that. But it suffices to say, though, that Clara was, of course, one of the great pianists of the 19th century, that she was a protege of her father, who was a famous piano teacher, also had a piano factory. He was also one of the founders of the Neue Zeitschrift für Musik with his future son-in-law, Robert Schumann, with whom he had, of course, considerable disagreements eventually. So he was an important man, and he determined that his daughter was going to become the greatest pianist, you know, in Europe, and she pretty much did. Robert, who was 9 years older than she was, sort of went through life trying to figure out what he wanted to do, and as it says around 1830, when Clara is now 11 and encounters Bach for the first time, that's also about the first time, or that's the time that Robert decides he really wants to commit himself to a career in music. And so he comes back to Leipzig to study with Friedrich Wieck, Clara's father, and therefore, of course, gets to know Clara. And as we say, the rest is history. What is really interesting is that the two of them studied Bach together. They played the fugues at the piano, from sight, you know, dividing up the voices. Later on in their life, you will see things here, how they, well, in fact, right after their marriage in 1840, we know that as the song year because Robert was writing all these songs, but also what was going on is that the two of them set out in a systematic way to study the fugues of the Well-Tempered Clavier together. And Robert would bring, of course, the greater age, and he was more of a composer, and you know, he was a kind of a man of broader interest than Clara, who was focused primarily on the piano, and of course, who was a much better pianist than Robert was. The complementary relationship was good for both of them. I should mention, at least for about 10 years, beginning in 1834. Robert was the editor of this magazine we referred to called the Neue Zeitschrift für Musik, the new magazine for music, in which he wrote many, many articles about musical life of the time. In appendices, there were published many works, some of his own, some of other composers, and they include, there's about, I think it's something like 8 or 9 first editions of music by Bach, chorale preludes and other things that had never been published before. And so Schumann was an editor, a writer, a journalist, but also a music editor and a music publisher, so to speak. You have that. There is one piece, since I'm on that topic, I just point out the Gieg on the other side of on the second page, be the back page of your examples. This Gieg was published by Robert Schumann, Opus 32, number 2. He wrote a Baroque suite. And if you look at that music, you might think it's by Bach. You know, it's a kind of a Gieg. Also sounds a little bit like, of course, Schliemann and so on. But anyway. That was one of those pieces that was published by himself in that context. Major push or major period of interest of Bach in Bach for these two is in 1845. You see on the, if you look on the chronology, it says here, the intensive study of fugue as well as the arrival of a pedal mechanism for the piano, primarily to practice organ works. And I might point out, this is something most people don't realize, I didn't, that both Chopin and Schumann were organists. Chopin played the organ back in Warsaw in the local Lutheran church. Robert also wrote music for organ, but they had a piano at home. They didn't have an organ at home, but they could bring in the pedal mechanism that allowed them to practice organ music using the piano and this special pedal mechanism. Of course, people do that today, even, you know, when you don't have a lot of practice organs around an institution. And the results, the musical results, were, for Robert, a number of important things here. You have these studies for pedal piano, which were essentially canonical studies using the techniques of canon, obviously inspired by the imitative techniques of Bach. Opus 56, you have six fugues on the name of Bach, Opus 60, and four fugues, Opus 70. And Clara, for her part, wrote three preludes and fugues, Opus 16, and three themes on fugues of J.S. Bach, and a prelude and fugue in F sharp minor. I'd like to, a couple of things, some of these examples now deal with those pieces. And let me turn first to Clara. These three preludes and fugues are really quite lovely things, and I'd like to just play for you one of the prelude, the first prelude. For me, it's really interesting because it sounds, when it begins, you would swear it's Bach, perhaps. See, it has that kind of Baroque, Bachian quality. But when you get to the fourth bar, suddenly there's a turn of harmony that tells you you're in the 19th century. But anyway, this is the first of the three preludes from the Preludes and Fugues, Opus 16. I'm sorry. Beautiful piece. And there are three preludes, each of them followed by a fugue. I'm not going to play, I put the theme down at the beginning of the second fugue, but I'm not going to play it, that we don't have time. As far as now the, another of Clara's things where she took a theme of Bach and composed her own fugue on a fugue subject by Bach. And in this case, it's the E major from book two. That's Bach's subject. This is the most, as again many of you know, this is the most archaic, if you will, and strictly old-fashioned of the fugues in the well-tempered clavier, the so-called stile antico. let's hear what Clara does with that theme. Sorry, wait. Come on. What's the matter? Why am I? Oh, yeah. Okay. Lovely, isn't it?